Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us once again. This is Miguel Gonzalez, your host and teacher, and this is Truth to Live By, the television broadcast ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries, a ministry committed to the person of Jesus Christ and to the infallible, inerrant, and inspired Word of God. Let's go ahead and open up our session in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your for who you are and for what you have done for all of us, Lord. We thank you for your creation. We thank you for the power that is within you, and we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we pray that as we come to your word today, you would speak to us, convict us of our own sin, and conform us more and more to the image of Christ. We thank you, praise you, magnify you, and bring you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, we started last week this particular study of how we are to glorify God. We're like in week 5 or 6 on the series on looking at some of the principles or essentials for spiritual growth. Today we will continue where we left off last week. We were talking about how we as believers bring glory to God, looking at some of the practical ways in which we bring glory to God. We said that first and foremost, we must be born again. Secondly, we talked about the fact that our passion in life should be God's glory. And we were looking at some categories that fall within that greater category. How are some of the ways in which our lives become passioned for bringing glory to the Almighty God? And we said that one of the ways is by sacrificing self, realizing that our life is not what life is all about. It is God and His glory what life is all about. And we are not to compete with God for receiving the glory for the things that we do. Second, and this is where we left off, we talked about the fact that we should place Him above all else. And let me just say this, when we say all else, we mean all else. We need to understand the definition of statements like surrender all. When we say that we should place Him above all else, it means that there should be absolutely nothing else in our life that occupies the place He should in that particular sphere of our existence. Christ is to be the center of our being. Everything else should take its place in the back burner in terms of where it should be in respect to Christ. Spiritual maturity comes by understanding the importance of surrendering all and placing Him above all else. And we looked at Philippians chapter 2 verses 1 through 9, and another passage I wanted to look at in order to make this particular point was in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6, where Paul said this, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. You hear that? For whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. Listen, God is to be placed above all else because, according to this passage, it is the Father for whom we live and it is Christ through whom we live. They are all in all. A second aspect in which we can practically make it our passion to bring God glory is by doing His will regardless of the cost and be content in doing so. Now there's a couple of passages that I want to discuss in looking at this particular principle. In John chapter 12, the Gospel according to John chapter 12, if you have your Bibles, just follow along with me. John chapter 12 and verse 27. Listen to what Jesus says. Now my heart is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Listen. And in verse 28, He says, Father, glorify your name. Listen, we are called to live lives that surrender our wills to the will of God, regardless of the cost to us, and we should and must be content in spite of that cost. Listen to the statement that Jesus made. He was honest enough to say, "Now my heart is troubled. But what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." As much as Jesus understood that it was going to cost him and pain him to die for mankind in order to provide salvation, Jesus always understood and never lost sight of the bigger picture. Jesus did not come for fame and fortune. He didn't even come to bring glory to himself. Jesus came for the sole purpose of dying a criminal, brutal death on a cross so that you and I could be saved and spend eternity in heaven. And again, I go back to this particular statement. We must realize that salvation comes by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. His death was sufficient to satisfy the justice of God and thus the resurrection. We contribute nothing to our own salvation. Good works or adherence to the law have nothing to do with our justification. Good works play an important role once we have become Christians, but in order to come to Jesus, we must come as we are, not assuming that something we have done is going to contribute or make us more likable to God. It is all because of what Jesus did. So listen, we must surrender our will to the will of Christ in spite of the cost and be content in spite of the cost. There's another passage I want to look at in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 22, verse 42. Excuse me. Jesus said, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Do you know that we live in a day and age where Christians are still persecuted for their faith and die for their faith in many places around the world today? You go to the Middle East, you go to Asia, you go to places in Africa, you go to some places in Latin America, and people, you go to China, people are still dying for the sake of their faith, for not renouncing their allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ in the 21st century. And folks, let me tell you something. There may be a time in American history where Christians will begin to experience persecution like never before. And it's going to be interesting to see how many people end up standing for Jesus in spite of that persecution. We must surrender our hearts and our lives and our wills to the will of the Father. Regardless of what may happen, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. God will not allow anything to come into your life that He has not previously decided it would be good for you. So listen, another way in which we can make God's glory our passion is by suffering. Listen, by suffering when He suffers. And I want to make myself understood. In Psalm 69, listen to what the psalmist said. This is something that you don't see very often today, even among Christians. Psalm 69 and verse 9. "For zeal for your house consumes me, and the insults of those who insult you fall on me." Listen, how often is it that you are bothered by the fact that you live in a midst of a society that has not only no regard for you, but have no regard for the God who created them? Listen, it hurts God when people sin, and it should so hurt us when people sin against God. We should suffer when He suffers. Listen to what he says. I hurt when God's name is reproached. Listen, we are to hurt when God is dishonored. The purpose for our existence is to give glory to God. And part of that means hurting when He is reproached. Another item we can discuss in terms of how God's glory becomes our passion is that our lives ought to be have humility so God gets the glory. In Philippians chapter 1, listen to what Paul stated. In Philippians chapter 1, listen, when you do what you do in life, do you do it so God gets the glory, or do you do it so man gives you the glory? It's a big difference. It's a major difference. We do what we do. First of all, we can do what we do because of God. Second of all, we do what we do so God receives the glory for what is being done, not so that we may receive the glory. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. He says, the former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. Listen, by being humble and meek and gentle, we give God the glory for the great things that He accomplishes in us and through us. Listen, we are nothing more than vessels that God uses in order to accomplish His will in this world. If you have a gift, if you're able to sing, and you are loved by millions because of your great talent, be humble, recognizing that it is a gift that God has given you so that He can reach the world and ultimately bring glory to Himself. Your talent, your gift is not given to you so that you can boast and reap fame and fortune, but so that in some way, shape, or form, God may use it ultimately to reach people for Himself and to bring Himself glory. But one must be humble. So we know, first of all, that if we want to bring glory to God, we must be born again. If we want to bring glory to God, secondly, His glory has to become our consuming passion in life. Thirdly, we must be cleansed. And what do I mean by that? Do you know that when we confess our sin, we are glorifying God? When you are cleansed and when you come before God as a Christian and confess your sin, you are bringing glory to God as you do so. And we're going to look at several passages that discuss this. For example, in 1 John, this is what John said. 1 John 1, 9, he says this. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Why is God glorified by the fact that we confess our sins? Because when we confess our sins, we are recognizing before God our failure and the fact that we ourselves are not God or gods, and that we are agreeing with Him that what we have done is inconsistent with His person. And we're acknowledging our sin, and we are agreeing with God that what we have done is wrong. God is glorified when we agree and acknowledge with Him that what we have done is a violation of who He is and what he has decreed as a consistent and moral and holy life. In Genesis 3:12, Adam, you remember the story when Adam and was confronted by God over his sin. In essence, what did Adam say as an excuse for his sin? And listen, this human nature has not changed in thousands of years, and I just want to highlight in this passage how it is that we are, you know, thousands and thousands of years later, we are still as guilty for coming up with the same excuses as Adam did in his own time. God approached Adam and confronted him about his sin, and this was Adam's response to God as to why he had sinned. The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." What was Adam doing? He certainly wasn't confessing and agreeing with God concerning his sin. He was somehow trying to diminish his guilt and blame somebody else for the fact that he had done something that was in violation of God's will and instruction and command. Now, is that not typical of the way we, even as Christians, behave? Yeah. Yes, I did this, but you know what? The fellow in the pew next to mine does a lot worse. Is that what God is interested in? Does that bring glory to God to somehow minimize and trivialize our sin? And to seek to somehow justify or because somebody else has done something worse, that does not bring glory to God. But I'll tell you what does bring glory to God is acknowledging and repenting and confessing that wrongdoing to God. That glorifies God. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just and forgive us of our sin. When we confess our sin, we are saying the same thing that God is saying concerning our sin. Listen, God is glorified when we confess our sin, because by doing so, we are agreeing with God that sin is our entire fault, and thus we repent. Listen. When you sin, you must first recognize that God had no role in your sinning. You sinned because you put yourself in a position where you compromised your character and your standards, and you gave way to the devil and his temptation in your life. And God is glorified when you acknowledge that and take responsibility for your sin and genuinely and sincerely seek His cleansing in your life. When we fail to confess sin or try to excuse it, we are impugning God. Fourthly, the fourth way in which we can practically bring glory to God is to trust Him. Do you know that God is glorified when you trust Him in your life? Isn't it peculiar? And this is true for all of us. I mean, I'm not exempt from being guilty of these things. Isn't it interesting how it is that when it comes to salvation, we believe God has saved us? We truly believe that when we placed our faith and trust in Jesus, He saved us, and that His promise of taking us to heaven is true. I mean, that is a leap of faith for many people. I mean, it takes a lot of faith to believe that has actually occurred, and that eventually God will glorify us by taking us home to be with Him forever. But isn't it interesting that when it comes to the smaller things in life, we don't trust God? How often, and we're all, you know, not holier than thou, how often do we fail to come to God in prayer, requesting God to do something in our lives pertaining a particular issue because we don't really believe God has what it takes to accomplish His will in our lives. We will trust God with something as big as salvation, but we will not trust God with the small, everyday issues of life. You want to bring glory to God? Trust God. Listen to what Paul said in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 and verse 20. Listen to what Paul said. Paul said, "Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God." He was talking about Abraham. Abraham believed God and he took God at his word. In other words, Abraham, and Abraham is an incredible example of somebody who we ought to emulate, and somebody whose life we will cover through some of these messages. Abraham's life was transformed by God's command and instruction and calling in his life. Yet Abraham, as a man, without a doubt, doubted or questioned God from time to time. That's human nature. But when push came to shove, when the rubber hit the road, it will forever be said that Abraham ultimately glorified God by the fact that he trusted God and believed that God would at some point, in some way, shape, or form, would come through and deliver and fulfill the promises that he had made. In Daniel chapter 3, we find another great example of how it is, of what it means to trust God. In Daniel, and you know, most of you know the story of Daniel. We won't get too much into it just because we don't have the time. But in Daniel chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, listen to what the scriptures say. "If we are thrown into a blazing furnace, the God we serve," listen, "is able to save us from it. And he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." You know what they were saying? You know what the scriptures are telling us right now? And I wonder what would happen if we ever find ourselves in a predicament where calling the name of Jesus would be so costly to us, whether we would do it or not. These folks were facing death. They were going to be sacrificed for their faith. Yet it tells us in this passage that they did not waver. They believed in the God they served, and not only did they believe he was God, but they believed that he was a God powerful enough to deliver them from the furnace. Listen, you want to bring glory to God, trust God. We say we believe, listen, we say we believe that God keeps his word. But do we live in such a way that it shows that truth is a principle by which we live? It's one thing to say something, it's a whole other thing to do something. And when life is good, it's easy to say, "Oh, we believe God. God is good." I trust God. But when it's all falling apart and when nothing makes any sense, you want to bring glory to God? Trust Him. Believe that He is, and that by virtue of the fact that He is, He's able. Remember that passage. I lived by this verse for years when I experienced some difficult times in my own life. All things work together for good to those who love Him. I know for a fact, from personal experience, that God is true and that God can be trusted. You want to bring glory to God? Trust Him. Another one, number five, do you want to bring glory to God? Do you want His glory to become your passion? Then bear fruit. Folks, we are going to be coming to the closing of this program, so I don't want to even start this particular. We'll pick up at bear fruit next week. I do want to encourage you to do several things. One, ask yourself those questions that are important for us to answer in our own existence. Don't decide that you're going to believe something or not believe something because that seems to be the consensus. When you come before Jesus, you're going to come before Jesus by yourself. And you will give an answer for how you lived your life in this earth. Your pastor's not going to be holding your hand. It's you and you alone. Thank you for joining us. We pray that these programs may have been a blessing to you. If you haven't trusted Jesus, please do so. And once again, contact us with the information provided at the end of this program. Thank you.